Well, we look at this text today about the centurion and Jesus. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, on this Memorial Day weekend, we happen to have a lesson where one of the main characters is a soldier. He's a centurion in the Roman army, or occupation force, probably more properly called. Jesus encounters this man, but never directly, but by the messages that are sent between them. He gets a message that the man's slave is ill, then he gets another message from the man saying, don't need to bother to my come to my house, you can heal him from wherever you are. Then all this happens in the town of Capernaum. Jesus has been in the general area for days and weeks of his ministry. He's healed many, many, many other people in the outlying area. He's raised at least one person from the dead. He's given the Sermon on the Mount. Now he's in this regional center called Capernaum. It's on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, so it is a fishing village, and there's a fishing trade that happens there. It's also on the trade route between Egypt and the Far East, and so a lot of commerce goes on as the caravans would come through there. And it was a Roman center, and we know Matthew the tax collector was there, so there were tax collectors there. So it was kind of a city with kind of a regional center. And the centurion is no doubt in charge of the peace of Capernaum. But he takes an interesting approach. Rather than taking the tough guy approach and having swords and spears ready and apparent and saying, you know, everywhere the police are in charge, he takes a gentler approach which endears the people to him. We hear that he has supplied them with a synagogue. He's given them a whole building to worship in. He's won the townspeople's favor, even that of the Jews, who normally had no use for the Romans whatsoever. They are wanting to help this man out by helping his slave get well. They have affection for the Roman occupation force and because of this man and his heart and the way he was caring for them. An interesting way to rule, out of kindness rather than out of force. We contrast this with the reception Jesus has received in nearby cities in the weeks before this. Another week he was in a Jewish synagogue and people brought to him a man who was crippled, and they couldn't get to Jesus, so they lowered the man through the roof, and the man was healed and can walk away. And Jesus said, oh, by the way, your sins are forgiven also. And the people were furious because Jesus forgave sins. They said, only God can forgive sins. They didn't believe he was God. On another Sabbath, he was in a synagogue, and there was a man who had a paralyzed hand there. Jesus healed it and forgave that man his sin as well. And instead of rejoicing that this man's hand was now healed, the people were furious because he did this on a Sabbath. They didn't care if this poor man's hand was healed. They were more worried that the law was broken and that this might postpone the coming of the Messiah. They had hoped that by keeping every law perfectly, the Messiah would come more quickly. And this would postpone it if Jesus messed up the law. They didn't realize the Messiah was in their midst, in the synagogue already with them. They didn't have any conception of that. They were just mad at him because he had messed up the coming of the Messiah, they thought. Well, these previous experiences with devout Jews were in his immediate background when Jesus gets to Capernaum, and here's the request out of the faith of the Roman soldier, you say the word and my slave will be healed. We notice how magnanimous the centurion was. Indeed, it was likely an economic benefit for him to have his slave healed. It would be one more person to continue to work for him. And the slave was a Jew. He could have had no regard for him. He could have maybe just let him die also. But it isn't like that. He has compassion on this slave and wants him to be healed. And in this setting, Jesus says something that's really remarkable about the centurion. Not even with the Jews have I found such faith as this man. Here in this very mixed but mostly Jewish city, he remarks about the faith of the Roman centurion. Knowing how his healings have been received in the Jewish synagogues, we can maybe imagine why Jesus was saying, here at least finally is someone who appreciates the healing that I do. And Jesus was more impressed by the accepting belief of this Roman centurion than he was by all the Jews who had been against him wherever he had been. This foreigner had complete faith in him. He trusted Jesus for a remote healing. he told Jesus, don't bother to come to my house, because he trusted that Jesus could just say the word anywhere he was and he would be healed. There was no need for Jesus to come and lay on hands. Jesus was on his way to do that. He said, don't bother, don't come. He kind of just said, phone it in, so to speak. Phone in the healing. Just the slave will be healed. The centurion had no doubt that Jesus could perform that miracle. And it may be that in by doing this miracle, Jesus is prompting the collective religious memory of the community. Because not far from here in North Israel, about several hundred years before, there was a high-ranking Syrian, a general, foreigner named Naaman, who's remembered in our prophets in the Old Testament, who came to the same general area because a little slave girl who was Jewish said to him, you know, there's this guy Elisha back in my home country. If you go heal him, things could turn around for him. If you would go back there, Elisha could heal you. Again, at a distance, without even talking to him, Elisha didn't need to talk to Naaman. He just had messengers say, tell Naaman, go to this pool, go to the river and wash, and you will be healed. And that's what happened. So I think there's a key point here that the gospel writer Luke wants us to know. He's writing for both Jews and for Romans. He wants to make the point by including this exchange with Jesus and the Roman centurion that the kind of world where various nations are seen as one in God's eyes is coming to fruition with Jesus the Messiah. Now that Jesus is on the scene, the divisions are melting. Romans and Jews are able to get along together because Jesus changes everything. As Paul puts it a little bit later, Paul says, neither shall there be Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. All are equal and one in the eyes of God. To the Jews, it's a word to be accepting of others, like Romans and foreigners. There is now no coming Messiah to get ready for and to live the law perfectly for. The Messiah is already here. And he's very clear. He is for everyone. You don't need to keep the rules like you did in the past. To the Romans, it's a word to those that the Jews, can be okay. Their new leader, Jesus, reaches out to all. So in these years after Jesus has already ascended to heaven, and Luke is trying to explain to the people what's going on, he's saying, Romans, be aware, the Jews aren't all bad. You can get along with them. Jesus is doing well. Jesus and this centurion did very well together. Luke also says, remember, there was another centurion in Jesus' ministry. When Jesus is dying on the cross and has died, it's a Roman centurion at the foot of the cross who says, truly, this was a good man. Everywhere he can, Luke puts in some reference by the Romans saying, look how well they get along with the people of Jesus. Christians are not to be feared. Throughout his books of both Luke and Acts, Luke makes the point that Jesus is for all. Nationality, place in society have no account with Jesus. Nor do the Jewish rules about eating and what one can or can't do on certain days. With Christ and Christians, it's all different. The orders of hierarchy are done away with. All are equal and on the same level. There's no people better than other people. All are on the same level. The orders of difference are gone also. Gender, color, ethnic and language background. All these things make no difference in Christianity. With Jesus, all are on the same level with him. Another thing we learn from this story is how God uses all people. This Roman centurion, who had faith greater than the Jewish crowd around him, according to Jesus, had a generous and kind feeling for the Jewish people. But I doubt very much that he knew much about Judaism or knew any particular theology about God. He didn't have to recite some sort of creed to act on behalf of God, yet Jesus credits him with great faith. A foreigner with little not book knowledge about the faith, but with a true faith within him. Or when this Naaman the Syrian came to Elisha through his servants, Elisha told him to go be healed, but he didn't examine his faith. Well, if you believe properly, I'll let you be healed. Naaman became sympathetic to him, but he didn't have to be a good Jew to be healed. God works through and in all people. Or when Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, God used the Persian king Cyrus, who didn't give a whit probably about Jewish faith, to free Israelites. God used all the people for him. We find that God's Spirit works in all kinds of ways to bring healing to the world. Foreign leaders may appreciate the workings of God, but often they aren't aware that they're instruments of God in doing this healing, but God uses them for God's purposes. Sometimes we can be closed to the way God is working in the world. We aren't alert to see that God is working through people, even though they don't identify themselves as Christians, but yet God works through them. When we were doing partnership for missional church things, we talked about God sightings, and I know our young people still do that from time to time and share what their God sightings have been. Seeing God at work in the world, doing things when there may not be any mention of faith, may not be any mention of Jesus, but seeing God at work in the world. The activity is there, and if we learn to identify that, we can see that God works in all kinds of good ways in the world. I was moved, and maybe you were too, if you saw the same news story I saw on Friday about a Japanese man at Hiroshima. He's a historian who has lived in Hiroshima, I believe, most of his life, if not all of his life, who discovered over the years that when the atomic bomb fell on Hiroshima during World War II, there were 9 Americans in the city who were soldiers, American soldiers, who were being held as prisoners of war in Hiroshima. And they were killed. And he was moved by their deaths and sought in his later life and how to identify and find out who these 9 men were who were Americans killed by the bomb that was meant to kill so many Japanese. So he did lots and lots of research and found out who they were, and he notified their families and expressed his feelings to them and made contact with their families, and many of them were able to be on hand last Friday when that ceremony was held to recognize that event when President Obama was in Hiroshima. And the families, of course, are very moved by this occasion to be there. And I don't know what this man's religious background is. It's possible that he's Christian, but it's probably not very likely. But for him to have had the kind of compassion for the Americans who were killed by the bomb, when it was that same American force that bombed his city and killed so many of his own people, it's an extreme act of forgiveness for him to act out of kindness towards an American in that case. It's a living out of what Jesus said to do, love your enemies. And he might not know about Jesus, but yet he was loving his enemies. We want to remember how much God has done for us. We were like the centurion, slaves ourselves. We were not worthy of ourselves, but because we were held dear by God who created us, healing came to us, and our sin was erased because of what Jesus has done for us. Through the faith and the word of Jesus, we are healed. We are restored in our relationship with God and with one another, and we are ready to serve. And we are like the man in Hiroshima. Not so great on our own, necessarily. We're naturally caught up on our own sin. We're born with original sin, mostly selfish on our own. But on our own, we see little reason to be nice to anyone, but especially not to our enemies. But by the touch of God, we are able to recognize this grace that's come to us. We're able to be whole. We're able now to reach out to others and to forgive the enemy as we have been forgiven, and to reach out and help those who have been hurt. God did a great miracle in Capernaum. God's still at work doing miracles with each of us. We receive God, and we make connections with other people, connections we may not have made before. We receive forgiveness, and now we are ready to forgive. We receive health, and we're able to bring healing to others. The centurion understood and believed that Jesus was God's agent to bring healing to the world. By the Spirit, we can see that we too are called to be God, by God, to be agents to bring healing to our world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.